At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el centro, Messi!
Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Con mis fechas son win, the trio five singing muchachos. Las familias se escuchan los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en gloria y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, welcome everyone to another episode of Messi and Co. With that, I must admit, fire introduction video.
So hype.
Wow, I'm hyped. Welcome. I'm Ashley, as always, here with my incredible co-host Gian, and welcome to another Inter-Miami weekend update edition of Messi and Co. As you can see, also, besides the fire hype video, we also have fire updated branding for our channel because you know what? We're taking that next step. This is season 3. Like, we're ready to roll. Am I right?
That's what's up. Hey, I am so hyped. Yeah, that video is dope. And the song is sick and made just for us. So that's super cool. And yeah, the branding, we're trying to, you know, get up there, make it pro quality for you guys. But I love it. I really love it. And I hope you guys really enjoy it at home as well, whether you're listening to us or watching us. Hey, we're doing big things for you guys. So excited.
Vamos. Okay. I'm excited too. I think it's super exciting. As you can see for this episode, it's back to the OGs. It's Ashley and Gian. We've had a lot of amazing guests on our show recently, like we said we would. But for this one, we thought we would just have us two go over some of the, you know, breaking news and things that have happened over the last week or so for Inter Miami. It's been very busy, as we know, because of the fact that, you know, we're finally finalizing our roster. We're doing these preseason matches. We're seeing shakeups with front office, with news, with et cetera. And so you got to make sure, as it relates to Messi and as it relates to Inter Miami, if you want to know the breaking news, the updates, how everything's going, what's next for Inter Miami and this team, you got to be following us, right? As you can see there, follow us on X, Messi and Co., and on this brand new YouTube channel, 5 Reasons Football. Right now, we've been cranking out the Messi and Co. episodes. But like I said, there's going to be episodes about all things football. I mean, we're going to look at, you know, Neymar going to Santos. Like, think big news happening. Marcus Rashford, I think just announced that he's going to Aston Villa from Manchester United. Crazy stuff. I mean, you know, Barcelona dominating right now in Spain. I mean, a lot of really cool topics to talk about that we want to get to. So make sure you're following us. Liking, subscribing, notification bell on, all that good stuff, so we can keep the soccer conversations alive.
And make sure you like the video. If you guys like the video, the more people get to see it, more people get to see
the intro video work. You got to give him a shout out in the chat.
Yeah. No, it was a few hours spent on that, and it came out great. And like I said, we actually had an Argentine rapper. And that actually helped us out with the intro song. So we worked together with him and we took the time to really make sure that the lyrics matched. If you, our goals and the things that are happening here in South Florida, if you listen to it, it talks about La Familia, you know, it talks about Florida, it talks about the heat, it talks about a lot of different cool things in there.
Heat, half which English, we're both half, rapping today.
Yeah. And we were talking about weather, the heat, but you know, here we do rep the Heat. It is Miami. But yeah, we did it in both English and Spanish to make sure we try to captivate as much of our audience as possible. So enjoy it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And yeah, I'm excited to talk Inter Miami. As always, the Inter Miami Weekend Update Show. It's usually on Fridays and Saturdays. We try to talk about everything that went on through the week. A lot of stuff going on, especially at the beginning of the season. As Ashley said, roster movements in and out. We'll be talking about that kind of stuff. And who knows? A lot of big names still out there on the board. We'll see what's up. But yeah, I'm excited, Ash.
Agreed. All right, let's do it. Well, starting with the ins of this Inter Miami team. And someone who we've expected for a few weeks now, and it was, we were almost 100% sure we were getting, Maxi Falcón from Colo-Colo, a Uruguayan defender, has officially signed and been announced by Inter Miami, bringing us what we desperately needed, which was some reinforcements in the defense. And you know, what we imagine probably will be starting alongside Tomas Aviles as a center back duo. Really important move. Obviously, we need to wait and see, you know, how he plays and how he performs. But based on clips of his past performances and what this team is looking to do, seems like a good move. A move that this team needed. That you know is hopefully showing that for all, you know, three phases of the team, we have our strongest available players.
Yeah, I think this is by far the best signing of the season, I would say, so far for Inter Miami. It's a spot where they needed the most help at. We know that Inter Miami had no issue scoring goals last season. They did have a lot of issues on the defensive end. You know, they weren't the most scored on team. They were more middle of the pack, but still not what you like to see when you have a team that's going to be going into a 2025 season packed with tournaments from CONCA Champions to FIFA Mundial de Clubes to the League's Cup, all these types of things. And a year that you want to make sure that you win the league. Unfortunately, you kind of didn't do so well last season. So I think that addressing an area that was very much needed is going to be great. Maxi Falcón comes from Colo-Colo, one a really strong team in Chile, a team that I'm very much familiar with because a lot of my Chilean friends follow that team. They go watch the games every weekend. They go and they get together in Wynwood here in Miami with the club ultras. And they talk. I actually asked him about Maxi Falcón. Like, what can we expect from him? What type of player is he? What was the situation with him, you know, being such a big part of Colo-Colo and him leaving? Were there issues or that sort of thing? And they were saying, we're getting a hell of a player. We're getting a dog. We're getting, you know, a guy that really a lot of the team and a lot of the fans in Chile and of Colo-Colo were kind of pissed that he left because they were going into Copa Libertadores, they were going into these really important tournaments in South America, and they were really banking on having one of their best players, if not their best player on the team, available for these games. He's a Uruguayan. As we know, Uruguayans really have that reputation for being dogs and being going hard at it. One of the things, you know, Uruguayans are a little hot-tempered at times. We know that because it's that fire in them that they got, and I love it. So that's going to be interesting, that dynamic, I think, with Toto Aviles. We know Toto Aviles, you know, he's a young guy. He's good, but he has had his issues with his disciplinary issues with his yellow cards and red cards. So I want to see how that dynamic works with Maxi. But, man, Maxi is a starter from day one. Right now, he's still waiting on his visa and his international certificate to be able to play for us. So he's probably not going to be able to play for our next preseason game. Hopefully for the following one, we'll see how long that takes. But look, you said it. What is he going to look like with Aviles? I'll throw this in there. Who knows if it's with Aviles or with Luján? That might be the pairing. It'll be interesting to see. But man, yeah, this guy is going to help us big time. I'm excited for this one.
I'm excited. We needed that kind of, you know, reinforcement to your point, like that dog. I think the defensive line needed some more of that. And obviously, like, Jordi Alba gives you that leadership, that competitive spirit, yeah, that dog. But you need it. And more so, I think, in the center and right side is definitely where we needed to see it. So it's going to be really exciting to see how he fits in and what the team looks like. I mean, obviously, we know this team has very big aspirations for the season. Messi, who we're going to talk about in a little bit when we go recap the game in Peru. I mean, he is playing like he has something to prove, which is crazy because he doesn't, but he's playing with such a spirit right now that, like, you know what you're seeing. Like, you know, this team, it means business. And so it's a great signing. I will say, when one door opens, that does mean another one closes. And unfortunately, right shortly before this was announced, we got confirmation of something we did also know, kind of was cooking for a little while, that Facundo Farias transferred to Argentina after the two seasons here. Obviously, one of them he didn't get to play because he Achilles or ACL? I think it was ACL.
It was an ACL injury.
ACL that he suffered in last year's preseason. Didn't get a chance to play with last year's team. You know, we saw him the first year with Messi and even before that, had so much potential. Still does, you know, really young, really talented. We were really excited for him. It didn't work out. You know, wish him nothing but the best. A really nice kid. But the team has had to figure out ways to strengthen and add to other layers, right, for this team to show, like, what were the shortcomings last year. Again, we agreed it probably wasn't, you know, your main offensive power, and you have still the likes of Robert Taylor. We just signed Fafa Bicolt. You know, we have a lot of – we have Messi, obviously. We have Allende, a lot of players to play offensively, and, you know – the defensive midfield and the defense in general is what the team needed more of. And so after adding Tadeo Allende and then after adding Fafa Bicolt, I think naturally they needed to kind of get rid of some other defenders, the U22 spots, et cetera, attackers in order to keep building and balancing this team. No?
Yeah, look, it is definitely a big hit, I think, for us that we're really rooting for Farias. We saw him play for us in 2023 when he came onto the team. He ended up playing, I think it was like 13 games, had 3 goals, 2 assists, and he was looking great. I think he had this one, his first goal was amazing, I believe.
The volley, right?
Yeah, well, no, it was the one where I forgot who put a through ball for him on the right side of the field, and the ball was a little too in front of him. He gets into the area and he slides, kind of like a slide tackle.
Oh, against LA, wasn't it? Against LA?
Yes, against LA. Yeah. I believe that was his first goal for the team, and that was quite a goal. It was really good. And that was kind of the first flash we saw of what we would get from him, the speed that he would give us, the attacking dynamic, the ability to take on players one-on-one. And he showed that for the 13 games that he played with us. And quite unfortunate going into the 2024 season, the preseason nonetheless, goes and gets injured. A preseason that was very much an issue for a lot of reporters and a lot of fans. It was very controversial. And that's why kind of we look at this preseason too. And I think this is more under the microscope, under the lens for a lot of people, making sure that we don't have the issues that we had with the 2024 preseason. We spoke with him quite a few times, whether it was in the press area after the game or actually just walking around the stadium and asking him, you know, how's it going? How's your ACL tear going? And he was very adamant of the fact that he was dying to get on the field to be with his friends. And he said that was the most difficult part. It wasn't even the injury itself. It was the fact that he wanted to be on the pitch with his friends, with Messi, with Suarez, with everybody on there. And he was excited for that. And it looked like he finally broke through. He was ready. But hey, look, it's business as well. I think that's one of the parts that maybe we don't like so much when it comes to our teams and as fans or reporters, but it's business. At the end of the day, they brought in quite a few players like Tadeo Allende. They brought in Telasco Segovia. Maybe not all of them play the exact same role, but a lot of them are. There's a lot of the attack is there. You're talking about Fafa Picot, like you said, and then just the market value that it seemed like Facundo Farias had. He was a very promising player going in. The fact that we got him was big time because he could have probably gone to some other teams. So when Inter Miami sees the business side and they see Estudiantes de La Plata is interested, I believe they got about $4.5 million for his pass, and they sold 70% of his pass to Estudiantes, so there's still some more money to be made there once he gets up. But I just hope the best for him. Estudiantes de La Plata right now, I believe, is in fourth place in the Argentinian league. So he's going to a good team, and the best to him. But we've got more than enough right now to cover for his spot that he's leaving behind.
Yeah. So adios, Facundo. Thank you for everything. Good luck. But we move. And with that, like we said, speaking of the U22 in general, that's kind of been what, you know, the initiative this team has taken. And again, we saw it with Nashville this past week, traded $250,000 of GAM for an international roster spot. And so, you know, the team has been cooking, the deals have been coming in. You know, we've already just named, you know, a few major signings this team has already made of important positions, and you know, you need to balance the books, you need to balance the roster. And so with U22 as well, that's what the team's trying to do, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think that when we kind of look at some of these transactions that they're doing, we have to remember Facundo Farias was on the U22 list for us, for our U22 designations. And if I look right here at the latest, because as we know, this isn't always updated, but as of 2024, the Inter Miami's roster profile for U22 players was Tomás Áviles, Facundo Farias, Diego Gómez, Federico Redondo, and Emerson Rodriguez. We know Áviles is still around. Diego Gómez was sent over to Brighton. Federico Redondo is still here. It looks like we're going to go I believe it's 3U22 route. You had to get rid of Facundo Farias, I believe, and then Emerson Rodriguez. He's the next guy that ended up leaving the team. He actually went over to Bulgaria to the first division. So that actually does free up two spots for us, and two guys that we weren't really counting on. Emerson, I believe, came here in 2022. He played some games for us. He did okay, but he's been going out on loan to different teams. And at the end of the day, it was just time to part ways with him and just leave those U22 spots open. And as we can remember, like, they come in as U22, but even though Emerson, I believe, is like 23 or 24, they can continue to remain on those MLS U22 initiative spots until the age of 25, as long as they started, obviously, in there once they were under 22. So Emerson, again, he would have remained a U22 if we didn't find a spot for him. At the end of the day, we ended up sending him out. And that really just opens the doors for us right now, because we only have, I believe, two U22s, which is Redondo, Áviles. We don't know yet about Kremaski. Kremaski, we know that he re-signed an extension with us as a homegrown in September of 2024. But we don't necessarily have the salary information. They don't release that to us. We know that he was making about 100.
What do you mean? They tell us so much when we want to
that's
know.
That's the tough part here. A lot of this is a lot of common sense, or you got to use a scientific method like we learned in elementary school. Like, it's
quadratic formula. To figure it out.
I just know Kremaski was making around 100,000, right? That he was making about 30,000 over the average. He may, depending on his extension, we don't have confirmation, maybe the third U22. We don't know yet. If that's not the case, then that means that there is a third U22 spot available right now with Redondo and Áviles there and Emerson and Farias out. So we'll get to see what happens with that. Machidano was asked if there are any more signings coming in, and he said that there's still time, that there may be. That was before Maxi came in. So I don't know if that's what he was referring to, but we'll see. It looks like there may still be a spot there, but that's what Inter Miami was trying to do. It was as pure opening up roster spots with these two moves.
Yeah. I mean, look, we, you know, part of us has kind of been like seeing all of the trading Inter Miami has done and the selling and things to, you know, build up the GAM and then get the international roster spot or et cetera. And, you know, obviously, they've done a lot of moves, right? We can name four or five new signings that we have throughout the levels of the team that are going to be beneficial and you know, seem like smart moves. And so far so good. If there feels like there's one more, like, here we go coming, but maybe if not, it's not like I will be disappointed. Like, I think what they needed to do in terms of like immediate roster reconstruction based on what we're getting and, you know, what we have with obviously the Barcelona four and the all the other players that we knew were already staying, like, makes sense to me. And so I'm excited for what the team's gonna look like. And if we get one more big one, then we will. That'll be good. But so far the front office has done a good job, but there's been drama with the front office, a lot of drama. And I don't know, man. Like we've seen, well, Messi's fiery right now based on what we're hearing. And Lisa, we talked about Beanie Messi last week, and we'll talk about in a second how we played against in Peru, but we're seeing some Messi fire now.
100%. Look, I mean, he's a guy that you look at him and he's a little bit, you know, he looks like relaxed, like peaceful. He sticks to himself. He doesn't really like the limelight, that sort of thing. But I think when it comes down to it, a lot of times he can definitely, like you said, be very fiery. We've seen him do that in games, obviously. When he gets fouled, he can get very pissed. We saw the way that his first Orlando City game that we were like, wow, somebody must have been telling him about the rivalry and what to expect, because he was fiery that game. And so we've seen him do certain things that lead us to and show us, obviously, for those who've watched him for a long time from his Barcelona days, watching him play El Real in El Clásico, we know that he has that fire. For those that maybe didn't see him as much and are now seeing him here in Inter Miami, which is probably not a lot because it's Messi. But yeah, you're seeing a side of him that I think just shows how much of an alpha he can be, even though he does seem kind of timid. He really is. So
I mean, to be the greatest to ever play a sport, like it's like Michael Jordan, like or whatever. Like you have to be that, even if you don't always show it outwardly, and like even if you're the great, you know, super kind and a great sportsman, which he is. Like you have to. Like it's impossible not to be the best.
Yeah, you definitely have to have that alpha, that killer, that leader mentality, and I think that definitely Messi has that. When it comes to this whole situation, which was really, I think, a bucket of cold water, and everybody was like, where did this come from? You know, Sanlehi was just brought in from Real Zaragoza, which Mas is an owner and president of that team. He brought him in to come in. Sanlehi, who has experience with Barcelona and other big teams, he brings him in to be the sporting director, kicks Chris Henderson out, which everybody was kind of like flabbergasted with that, because they were like, what, you know, he's done such a good job. He's brought in these big names. Inter Miami gets their first trophy under him. And he brings in Sanlehi, which was a big deal. And then within a matter of months, he's relegated to a different role. And all because per different sources, I believe it was after the preseason game against America, Messi was on the team bus. Sanlehi goes into a players and coaches only team bus, and they had an exchange of words. And then after that, he's out of his job. The team, you know, then responds to that and says, no, it was all part of the plan. Like it was, you know, that has nothing to do with Messi getting pissed at him. The very next day after Messi got pissed at him and had words with him, we already had planned to send him over to corporate office so that he can deal with all the things that have to do with the FIFA Club World Cup coming up, because it's a really important event. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Has nothing to do with him getting in a fight with Messi. So I think that then led to the next conversation which was, is Messi calling the shots for this Inter Miami team? And if it wasn't apparent already, with the signings of all his friends, all of these Argentinians that are coming, with Mascherano being coach, if that wasn't apparent enough, I think it's very apparent now. So, look, it is what it is. At the end of the day, we tweeted this out and we reminded people, in his contract, he does have the option, which the imminent move to be owner of the team, once his contract is terminated. So I feel like he's already operating as an owner, and that was probably already in his agreement when he came in. He said, we're going to take your input almost as an owner into what we do over the next few years. My question to you, Ash, is this healthy for the team? What type of dynamic do we need here? Because there has to be a balance of powers. As much as I love Messi, Messi isn't a sporting director. He's not a coach. How much of an input should he have? And should there be someone that kind of balances it out? I think that should be healthy, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's what I think. I think that both things can be true, where I think on one hand, it's probably a little bit exacerbated a little bit, like dramatized the amount of impact he has, like to say, like, he doesn't call. I don't think he calls Jorge Mas every night and says, like, this is what we should do tomorrow. Like, this is, you know, this is who, like, so these people have to be on the streets if they're not from Argentina or Uruguay, or if they're not friends with me, I don't want them on the team. Like, I don't think those are, you know, I don't think he has that level. And I don't think that's not the kind of guy he is. I do think he has a lot of say. And I think that he's valued more than a player normally would be. And I would say this. Too bad to people who don't like it. To be completely honest with you, like, and if you have different opinion, if you want to be in the chat, et cetera, like, if he had complete control and complete power and it was his word or nothing, that's a problem. I don't think that's where we're at. I think it's a higher level and it's more than what's normal. But just to give context, and again, we're not trying to do this as like a gimme to like talk about Ronaldo versus Messi or any of that. Like, that's not what we do. But Cristiano Ronaldo makes like hundreds of millions of dollars playing for this team in Saudi Arabia. Messi makes a lot less. And the I think I saw this tweet yesterday, and again, the numbers are butchered, so don't go exactly by what I'm saying, but I think it's something like the
dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles. Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Roster for a Saudi Arabian team is like $300 million plus a year. Inter Miami's is like $38 million. So, you know, the choice Messi made and maybe the financial sacrifice or just in general to come play in Inter Miami and to come for this club and MLS and this league to create this thing he did, like, it comes with costs that you normally don't associate. And the cost is you have the greatest player of all time. He's at the twilight of his career. He's still playing like a best 11 in the world. He wants things to go out in his way. And so he's giving his feedback and his whatever. And I think it's just like a checks and balances thing. Like, that's the price Inter Miami have made to have Messi be on our team for a long period of time and performing at a high level. I think it comes with good and bad. That's just the truth. And I'll take it any day of the week. Like, I'll take this drama. I'll take this pattern. I'll take the, you know, he brings in the Argentinian coach, or he brings in his friends. Like, you know, I'll take that every day of the week because we have the greatest player to ever play, and he's still playing at a ridiculously high level. It's not going to be forever. If we're really lucky, we have 2 more full seasons. If we're not as lucky, we have 1 more full season. Like, that's it. So enjoy what you have while you have him, and deal with some of this part of it that's coming with it, because we'll never have him. We'll never have the best player ever to play again, and that's you know.
I agree with you on a lot of what you said. I think just you got to enjoy it, and at the end of the day, it's not something that is extremely like. There hasn't been anything so far that I've seen where I'm like, yeah, definitely Messi had an influence on this. That's been like terribly detrimental to the team. Like one of the things that people had the most issue with was the Suarez coming over to the team, coming over from Gremio, seeing that, you know, even despite him doing so well at Gremio, looking at his age, looking at his knees and saying, oh, the only reason we're allowing him to come to this team is because Messi wanted him. And at the end of the day, look, that worked out fine. He ended up scoring and assisting more than people would have thought. And he's doing amazing for this team. So I think that the one thing I would say is there definitely does have to be checks and balances. I don't think that, to your point, like Messi is not going in there and having the final word. If anything is allowed, yeah, Messi's saying maybe what he wants and what he thinks should happen. At the end of the day, it has to go through Beckham. It has to go through Mas. Now it's going to have to go through, if not Sanlehi, but through Hoyos, which is looks like the new sporting director for Inter Miami, who does have a big connection with Messi. Obviously, Messi calls him his football godfather. He was the guy that coached Messi in the Barca Academy when he first went to Barca. I just think that at the end of the day, even though there are some moves that are questionable, like Mascherano, for example, and, you know, we'll have to see how that ends. I don't want to be too quick to judge. We'll see. Hopefully Mascherano ends up doing good. We'll see. Hopefully Sanlehi ends up being the move for Sanlehi out of sporting director doesn't end up being a big deal. And Hoyos ends up doing a good job. Hoyos has a lot of experience as a player and as a coach through really big leagues and big teams in Argentina. So I think that'll be okay. And anyways, they asked Mascherano about it. And Mascherano said, like, is this going to be a big deal for you, the changing of Sanlehi? And he said, at the end of the day, this was always a group effort. Sanlehi wasn't the one making the final decision. Sanlehi wasn't the overall arching power. It was me, it was Mas, it was Beckham, and it was everybody in the front office. And that's how they've been operating. It hasn't been a one-guy show. So I think that to that extent, it'll be okay. But it just shows you, don't get in a fight with Messi on a bus. Because
he's earned it. Like, I know that sounds... Yeah. It sounds like that's not how sports work and that's not how things work. Like, you know, you don't, whatever. First of all, do you think Messi was the one who chose Yannick Bright, Noah Allen, Fafa Gold, Drake Callender? Like, you think he chose him? And it was like, you know, like if Messi had a choice between Fafa or Robert Taylor or Facundo, who do you think he's picking? Like, he's not in charge of everything, you know? And exactly. These things have worked out really wonderfully. But, like, you think he went and watched New Hampshire and was like, Yannick Bright, get him or I'm out. Like, you know what I mean? Of course not. And so it's for the greatness we're getting, for the people he's bringing, for the excitement, the money, the jobs, the interests of soccer, the community he's building, what we've seen in real time happen in South Florida and in America, it's amazing. And if you don't like it, then, like, boo you. Go watch something else. Like, I'll take it 100 times out of 100. But what it comes down to with Messi and what we care the most about, obviously, is what we see on the field, right? So we saw this past Wednesday the second preseason match in Peru at Estadio Monumental. And, man, what an atmosphere. It was a hell of a game for a preseason. Yeah. And, again, that's – the Messi effect. Look what they did. Look what they sold out that and beautiful stadium. The energy, the excitement, the love of the fans, seeing him and watching them play and the enjoyment everyone got and seeing these players. Like, that's what it's about. That's what sports is about. And it was, even though we didn't score, let me tell you something right now. Messi played like he's 24 in Barcelona, like trying to win a Champions League. Like, he was playing so aggressive and crazy and intense, and he's bringing it. And he's I think it's going to be a hell of a season because I'm liking what I'm seeing out of him so far, for sure.
Messi has definitely been playing like a younger version of himself the last couple of games. And I think it's also he's getting up there because of the teams that he's playing. I think that, you know, you're talking about America, which is a big team in Mexico. I think they've won they're champions of the Mexican League, Liga MX, twice in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Then you go to Universitario, You go to a stadium at 80,000 people. It has an environment that that looks like a Copa Libertadores. Like, it was just insane. Like, I freaking
with the chain fences
that.
And the signs. Yeah, it's the best.
No, that is the best. Look, to me, I'm biased because I'm South American. Maybe you have a different view, or other you guys that are listening to us or watching us have a different view. But to me, there's nothing like the environment in South American soccer. Look, I've been to Premier League games. Ash, I know you've been to Premier League games. I went to the Arsenal game the other day, and it was dope. Like, it was cool. But, man, when you go to the South American games with these fans – and the excitement that's in there, the constant chanting, not stopping, standing, and it's a passion. It is weird because this may be seen as a negative, but I think it's like it's weird, but there's a sense of like danger. Like, it's totally, when you're in South America, like they might like jump the fence and just like, because it's happened, or like, bro, some of those groups are pretty rowdy and crazy. So there's like a little
that's
danger,
where they have the
like
fences. Scary.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, it's crazy. So like, I was just, before the game even started, I was like, man, this is sick. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how CONMEBOL and CONCACAF didn't figure out, or maybe for next, I don't know, a way to have them in Copa Libertadores, because, bro, you need Messi in Copa Libertadores. But yeah, anyways, back to the game. It was, hey, finally, you know, we have a good penalty shootout, I will say. I'll start with that, compared to the one against America.
Yeah, Inter Miami's great penalties this year, that's for sure.
But Messi looked really good. I loved how he was running a lot, and he was he looked energetic. He looked in really good physical shape. Another guy, Suarez ran more than I think I've ever seen him run in two seasons.
Yeah,
He looks really good pressuring the ball. That's something I didn't usually see. When they were on defense, him and Messi were just chilling up top, and Suarez wasn't really moving around a lot. This time, he was pressuring every ball. He was doing doing runs to try to pressure the goalkeeper. Like, there was a lot of really good stuff there that I saw. I think that there are a lot of really interesting nuggets that we can get out of that game that kind of lead us to what Mascherano's trying to do with his team. But if I could stick with one that I noticed and I really, really liked, and it's quite the difference between him and Tata Martino. Tata Martino really was adamant about the fact that he wanted Messi up at the front all of the time. He didn't want him having to run back. He wanted him to relax and focus his energy on scoring. That's what he wanted. He wanted everybody to play a ball into Messi, Messi making a run, Messi getting the ball at the top of the key, Messi getting the ball at the top, passing over to Alba, running
the
to the
key.
Middle.
You've been watching too much basketball.
Yeah. Did I say key? Yeah. I've actually been watching a lot of Heat, even though I probably shouldn't. People are asking, like, why are you watching the Heat? For the drama. But That was with Tata, right? Now you go over to Mascherano, and what do you notice? It's no longer Messi when it comes to when they're on offense. It's no longer Messi just waiting at the front. What he actually has is Messi getting tucked in behind a front line of Facundo on the left side. You've got Suarez in the middle, and on the right, I believe you had Tadeo Allende. So they're your front three, and Messi is the guy that's going to be orchestrating the ball. And that's different. He wants the ball more in Messi's hands, and him really being able to distribute the ball into, whether it's to the center forward in Suarez or into the speed of Tadeo and Fafa on the left. And I think that's going to be really, really interesting for me, because that also kind of makes it feel like you're going to see you're going to see more of the pure number 10 Messi this year, more than the attacker, is what I'm going to say. That's what you saw more of. And it's crazy. Messi's, throughout the years, he's always kind of evolved and had his position differently. He's played false nine. He's played right wing. He's played 10, like pure 10. Like, I think we're going to see more of a pure 10 this season. So that's kind of like my number one takeaway for this game against Universitario, and how fun of and interesting and just a great ambiance overall.
Agree 100%. I think that's exactly what we're going to see, and what we're looking at is and that's like Messi's bread and butter, right? Like, I mean, partially you understand that with age and all the miles run, like you would in a perfect world, if everything else in the team is working so perfectly, where he only needs to get the ball right at the, you know, near the box and create from there, like, great. But he moves up a little bit more into the midfield and he starts the plays. He creates the move. You know, he wants the ball then. He likes to move around in the pockets. He creates what he wants. He does the give and goes. He gets a through ball. That's who he is. He's a maestro, right? Like that's where he's, I think, the most comfortable in how he grows into games. And it's like, you know, he doesn't like getting subbed out. He likes to play 90 minutes when he plays or doesn't, because that's how his body and his mind works. Like his body and everything grows into being part of like the whole symphony of the game. Yeah. And I think that's a big part of him. And that's why I think we're seeing that kind of excitement. It's really similar. Like, I think now how he's playing is like how he plays with Argentina is what we're seeing right now. Like that kind of creation from midfield on, you know, like it's not just waiting until the final third. He's part of every piece of the puzzle, and that's how he works. I think, you know, both Fafa and Allende didn't have amazing games, you know, made mistakes, but they were in such great positions that I think the nerves and the consistency will wear off. Like, it wasn't a matter of being in the wrong spot or a matter of not knowing what to do, which is they made technical mistakes. Like, they, you know, Fafa didn't put the right pass in, Allende lost the ball, like those kind of things. Those things are going to be shaken off. Like, I think the position of them, the pace, the excitement, the idea that they're running those channels and you know, giving it into Messi, Suarez, etc. Like, the way that they have those four built is what you want to see. And in another day when those players aren't as rusty or you know, they have more practice with the four of them, you see more goals. You definitely see more goals. The positions
And Fafa had a better game against America. The second game, to your point, I felt like he was struggling a little bit more, and more so in he would do things right. He'd make the right plays, but then right at the, like you said, the wrong pass. And it was and there was one in particular where he was able to take a defender and then puts in the pass, and it goes past the box. Like, it went to the other side of the goal. And then immediately Suarez and Messi both went up to him and were basically, I think, telling him what he needs to do, right? That he keeps messing that up. And that's just part of the preseason. That's what we're trying to iron things out. So when you look at, I think just, I would focus on the positives and see, like, these guys, especially Fafa, is showing why he's on this team. His speed and his ability to also get back and defend. Tadeo also he looked really off, but again, that was his first game, I think. And in Universitario, against Universitario in El Monumental. So I think it was a big a big game for him. I think for me, it's also going to be interesting to see with Messi kind of playing a bit more back and orchestrating more, how Telasco, what his role is going to be, and if he's going to be a starter. I think he's a starter. He's really good, but he's a guy that can really orchestrate as well. So it's really going to be interesting how this team starts to mold out. And if Redondo, for example, is going to keep his role in the midfield, or is it going to be Busquets and somebody else, Busquets and Bright, Busquets and Telasco? I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there. But, like, for example, I think Redondo has kind of not really lived up to what they wanted for him in his second season with the team. He did show flashes of really good stuff last season. So that's also an iffy for me. And Noah Allen continues to play at center back. But I don't think he'll, obviously now with Maxi and with others, I don't think he'll keep that spot. And then the goalies too.
I was about to say Ustari. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a good goalies. Game.
I don't know if you want to talk about that. Ustari, I think, did pretty good as well.
He did very well. He's done very well in the matches he's played. I think he played one or two last season. I think he did good.
Yeah.
Towards the end. Yeah. I mean, good healthy competition for goalkeepers. Good. You know, I know Drake's been dealing with an injury, making his way back. I still like Drake is still a phenomenal shot stopper, in my opinion. The other parts of his game need to improve. If week one, I think it's going to be Drake. If it's Ustari, like, I'm not going to be upset. You know, I think that's a position I'm not as worried about. You know, I think we have options.
I'm into Ustari, by the way, just from what the comments I've been
playing really well. I agree. He's playing very, very well and doing like enough where it's not like a placeholder. It feels like, you know, somewhat.
Because I think Drake, so Drake, the whole thing with Drake was it ended up being an adductor injury that he's dealing with. He was actually on the field yesterday for practice working on it, so that's good because we hadn't seen him on the field for some time since he got injured with the national team. But they asked Mascherano about Drake, and they asked him about who's going to be the starting goalkeeper. And I thought it was interesting to me that he said he just got to the team. For him, it's starting from zero.
Right.
So I thought that was really telling for me, and him saying that he's starting from zero, basically not taking anything that maybe Drake has done in the past few seasons that many of us have seen. He's going based off of what he's seeing right now in practice, what he's seeing right now in games. And he spoke to how good Rocco had done and how good Ustari is doing. And for me, when I'm looking at Ustari, one of the things that really, really stands out to me with Ustari is his ability to play the ball on his feet.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think that Drake lacks. So if Ustari can at least be level with the goalkeeping aspect of it, I think that that could be the one thing, the ability to play the ball on his feet. That's going to be in his favor. And I would give it the slight edge right now for Ustari over Drake. But we'll see what ends up happening.
We'll see. I'm good either way. I think, you know, I think that we'll see 100%. Yeah. Like he's done well. Ustari has done well where you're not looking at him like, oh, here's your, you know, second or third string, just trying to get some game time before the season. Like you're thinking he's doing a really good job. It was a really fun game, great atmosphere. I think especially like the first 30 minutes, you saw a really excellent display of what I think Inter Miami is planning on doing this season in terms of the style, the type of personnel. I think you're going to see changes in like that defensive line. You may see some midfield changes, but in terms of like the shape, the strategy, the idea, how Messi is going to be controlling the games and having more, you know, impact from further on the field, I think that's what you're going to see moving forward. And yeah, I mean, if that's, you know, your worst performances you're getting out of Fafa and you're getting out of Allende, then I think there's a lot of upside because it was still like the patterns and what you were watching was really good. The spacing was great. It was completely balancing part of, you know, the speed or the whatever that Suarez and Messi lack was immediately being made up on the wings. And you were seeing the vision. And that's especially in your second preseason game, you know, first debut for Allende. That's all you could ask for. You're seeing what you want to see. You're seeing the style of play. You're seeing the ideas, and I'm really excited. So far so good for this preseason. I mean, like we said, as opposed to last preseason, difficult.
Yes.
This one, so far so good. Great atmospheres. I think it's been doing what, you know, the best thing you can get out of a preseason, which is practicing. You know, getting your new formations and your new style and your new players get to play and getting your energy and excitement up, not just for the fans, but for the players. You know, they're up for those games. Like you know, they were all up for Wednesday's game and they loved it. And if that's how you can start your season and your energy and your excitement, and you get that going through away fans, Inter Miami fans, Messi fans, players, you're checking all the boxes.
Agreed. And then he's ready for the next game, it looks like. So
yeah, tomorrow. Next stop, Sporting. We're playing San Miguelito, Panama. 5 p.m. Eastern time.
It'll be 5 p.m. Eastern time against San Miguelito. San Miguelito right now is second in the league. Well, it's they have two groups, Group A, Group B. Mm-hmm. They're right now second in Group A of the championship right now for Panama. And I think it'll be another good game. We'll see how many minutes Messi plays. Obviously, Mascherano was asked yesterday during training if Messi's going to go ahead and play, which Mascherano basically said the idea is that everybody's going to get as many minutes as they can get. So the plan is that everybody's going to play. So for right now, it looks like I think he'll play a good amount of time. We saw he played against America. I think he played 60-something minutes.
68,
around there. And then, not yesterday, but against Universitario, he played 70 minutes. He scored a goal in the first game against America. Mm-hmm. And
he almost scored a couple of fucking bangers on Wednesday. Oh. Like, in the first 4 minutes, I thought that free kick was going in. I was like, this is light work for him.
Yeah. No, so if you're going to the game, I actually got somebody – actually on Twitter, I don't know if it was on my personal or on our messaging co, either a DM or responded that they're in Costa Rica and they're actually going to travel to Panama so they can watch the game. And it looks like everything points that he is going to play. He looks fit. He is fit. He practiced. So it looks like you should be seeing Messi whatever amount of time that is. And it looks like at least an entire half plus some. So that's going to be worth it to go. What they're trying to do here really is, again, knowing that they're going to have to play these teams in Champions Cup and have to travel in Champions Cup, go to Mexico, play these Latin American teams or South. They want to do as much of that as possible, which is why they did the whole America's preseason tour where, yeah, they're playing some MLS teams, but they're playing in South America. They're playing in LA, which is basically like a lot of Mexican fans, and now going into Panama. So they're just trying to get accustomed to what they're going to be seeing throughout what is 2025 with the Leagues Cup and Club Mundial de Clubes FIFA. And one of the things is actually the Leagues Cup, they just announced the schedule right now, and the first round is all going to be MLS teams versus Mexican teams. There's going to be no MLS versus MLS. So
which is
that
cool.
Which is pretty cool. So that further points to them wanting to, I don't know, maybe they knew that beforehand, but this is really going to help them acclimate themselves to what they're going to be seeing in all these tournaments. So we'll see what that game looks like, as you said, Ash, tomorrow at 5 p.m. And we'll definitely, you know, we'll definitely have to next week when we do a show, we'll talk about it and see what comes out of it. I'm just hoping, and I think what Mascherano is going to be doing is just continuing to tinker with this lineup as he tries to see how different players fit into these formations. Unfortunately, Maxi's not going to be able to play. Again, he's still waiting on his visa. You may see Noah Allen again at center back. Who knows if Ustari plays again or if it goes to Rocco just to give Ustari a rest. We'll have to see with that. And then to me, the most interesting part that I'm going to see is what does the attack look like as well? Mm-hmm. Are they going to do the same thing that they did against Universitario? Is Busquets going to play alongside Redondo, or is Busquets going to play alongside Yannick Bright? Are we going to finally have two defensive midfielders instead of one? That'll be interesting to see. I know that Tata Martino didn't like to do that, but we know that a lot of times that probably would have been helpful for us. So a lot of really good things to look out for in that game. A lot of revealing things for Mascherano and what he plans on doing. So I'm interested in a game. Maybe I've never heard of San Miguelito until this tour was announced, but hey, whatever it takes to get this team into proper fitness. So
agreed. Yeah, no. So, I mean, again, so far so good, knock on wood, everything stays as is, but this is the kind of preseason you want. I think the spacing of games have been good. The atmospheres has been good. It's made sense. The type of competition they're playing, setting it up. Oh, sorry. My mic fell for the tournaments that we have this year. Yeah, so it's exciting.
And then they'll get to rest. They'll get to rest after this, and then they'll go to play Olympia. This will be the last one you'll see before a few days of rest.
100% agreed. So, hey, exciting time. Every episode we've had so far, there's been so many good things to talk about. Super exciting. This is a really great time of the year where we're getting closer and closer to the start of the season, to the meaningful matches, the meaningful tournaments. We'll be there every step of the way. So, as always, thank you for watching this episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley. That is Gian. Make sure you are following us on Twitter/X at Messi & Co. You're subscribing. You're liking this video. You're commenting on this video. And you're turning on the notification bell for 5 Reasons Football. This channel is super important to us. We want to keep growing it. We want to keep doing more episodes, have more people on. More things, so much happening in world football, so much happening with Inter Miami and Messi, and we can't wait to go through it with you. So for this edition of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley, that is Gian, and we will see you next time.
See ya.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine & Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.